Hi, and welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I'm your host, Courtney, and I'm super passionate about moving and thinking. On this show, we are going to dive into all things health, fitness, personal development, lifestyle, and political, sociocultural. I've always been fascinated by people, and I love learning from the experiences and stories of others. This has been a treat for me, and I hope this is enjoyable and useful for you. As always, if you have any questions, comments, or any way that I can make this a better experience for you, please don't hesitate to reach out. Hello, welcome to the Courtney Turner Podcast. I am here today with Davey Williams. He is a producer, actor, filmmaker. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here. So tell us a little bit about your journey. How did you become an actor filmmaker? And you have a film out now, right? The Chinese Speaking Vampires. Tell us a little bit about the story behind that.
Okay, yeah, I started 20 years ago just doing a little bit of acting in LA. And then in 2006, I moved to China for a while and got into their entertainment industry. As I became better at Mandarin, I got more and more roles. So it was exciting. And about 5 years ago, I started writing scripts. And my first one was Chinese Speaking Vampires. And that was a comedy action type of script that I can use my Mandarin ability. And took quite a while to get it actually made. So it's fun. It's good.
Very cool. So what made you move to China?
I was in LA at the time, knew Chinese people there and people, Americans that had been there, and they talked me into it. So I just left my job. At the time I was doing a civil engineering job and it was quite boring. So I was looking for some excitement in my life, and that sounded like the place to go try.
Go and hunt it down? Hunt down the excitement. And what did you find there? What was what would you say are some of the things that really surprised you that you didn't expect about China?
I went there not looking to get into the entertainment industry or anything, just wanted to travel and experience new cultures. I started working on the language as soon as I got there, and I was very adamant about speaking Chinese as much as I could every day and blocking out all English.
Okay. So
I was really crazy about it. And then I got good and I got plugged into commercials and TV shows after a few months. And the more you develop the connections over there, the better you do. And so I was friendly and making connections every day and ended up doing that for several years as a, you know, full-time actor, bilingual host and presenter. I had a lot of fun.
Awesome.
How can I help you today?
I was thinking of taking some classes. Oh, I need to learn the language for a role I'm trying to get in a movie.
Ah, you're an actor.
I'm probably going to China pretty soon if I can land this Chinese-speaking role.
A movie? So Hollywood.
And do you have any intensive training courses or something?
Rika, I may have a way I can help you.
Okay, what is it? Some sort of hypnosis or mind trick?
Hey, Rika?
What's going on?
Last night.
Yeah, you practically kicked a vampire in the face.
Whoa, what's up with your teeth?
Vampire?
Yeah, vampire.
I swear to God, they're real.
Help me find the freaks that turned my boyfriend and bring them to justice.
You know you can't stay hidden forever. We will always find you.
Ni hao.
Ni ying gai zong.
You just told me that I should leave.
What's your down issue? Boy, yes.
Sure,
Tony, can you do it?
The chance of vampire to really exist.
Yeah, so was Chinese really hard to learn, or?
Yeah, it was hard. It's harder here because we don't have the environment, but
yeah.
Or surrounded, it was very, very fast, actually.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Well, I would imagine as a civil engineer, it's similar part of the brain, the language, and so you probably have a knack for it, is my guess. So I don't know if it'd be as easy for everyone, but so tell me a little bit about this film and you know the I guess concept behind it. What drove you to create it, and what's tell us a little bit about what it's about.
Yeah, I just had a dream, a vision back in like 2015. To make my own projects, and I thought instantly what would be a good one for me. Something exciting with using my Mandarin, which was quite unique, and something the audience was like, which is action and vampires and comedy. So I put it together and made it so that the vampires, they speak Mandarin when they become turned. And that was fun as American students learning Mandarin, they can't speak English anymore. So that was the premise that makes it kind of funny.
Awesome. So what were some of the obstacles that you incurred? Because you did this during, you know, what I call it the COVID era, if you will. right? So I would imagine that was a little bit more challenging than it may have been in other times.
Yeah, we got all the pre-production done about early 2020. And then filmed it in February and early March 2020, so right before things were shut down in LA. And it was just about a two-year process of starting a company, starting to get serious about making a trailer, poster, website, business bank account, LLC, and then reaching out to the universe in prayer and thinking, how do I get, you know, this much money? And once I met one gentleman that agreed to help, then it snowballed from there. And you manifest what you pray about and what you go towards every day. So that's what happened. And we got the money together in January 2020 and pushed the production to start soon in February. So that's how we did it.
Wow, that's amazing. So how did you meet this gentleman who was so gracious and helped you get started?
I was invited to be a guest at an actor's seminar in LA in summer of 2019. And they just wanted someone that's worked overseas, bilingual type actor. And afterwards, the actors and attendees come up to each table and talk to the speakers. And this gentleman was interested in helping out. So it was wonderful. I'm really blessed to have attended that conference and met him and went from there.
Yeah, no, that's amazing. That's a very inspiring and hopeful story for sure. So you were saying that you were in LA for a bit, and that was during the lockdowns, which I am very familiar. that's part of the inception of this podcast, actually. So I'm curious how the climate was different overseas. And what were all the actors and the crew that you were working with, were they Chinese or did you bring people over? And tell me a little bit about how it was different being in China during that time versus here.
So we filmed it in LA with Chinese people that live in LA and Hollywood actors that we auditioned. Okay. The difference between filming in America versus China was that they have no union there. So actors are often just treated very similar to the crew. We would show up at the same time as the crew and just sit there and wait for them to set everything up. There's no craft services. You just get a little plasticky lunch with chopsticks.
Wow.
And you get paid well, but they don't treat actors special at all compared to in LA. So.
Oh, that's very interesting. So you filmed in LA.
Yes.
And how was that?
It was fine. So we just did that in February, March 2020. And then I left as soon as that was over because they were starting to lock things down and shortages and everything. So I went back to Montana late March of 2020 and spent the rest of the year in my hometown. So I didn't want to deal with any of that And the only reason I came back recently was for the premiere of this movie and pushing for the sequel reboot.
Mm-hmm.
With possible investors for the bigger budgeted reboot. But in 2020, I also made a feature in my hometown. It was a Native American drama called Slant Streets. That's still being edited, but it's more of an art house piece and for film festivals.
Awesome. Of
a Native American story. So definitely switched gears with that one. But a lot of people think that was impressive. I did two features in 2020 with COVID.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that part. Say that again.
Some people think that was impressive to do two features in 2020.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued. Yeah, please elaborate. Tell us about that experience.
I doubt it would have happened in LA. Okay, that would have been hard to do anything after mid-March of 2020 there.
Sure.
But since I left right after production and then started pre-production on the second feature in Montana, that was only locked down for a month or two. And then we were pretty much wide open after that. So I was free to film and people were helpful. It was a fun process, you know.
That's awesome. So in Montana, then, so you said it was, you know, only locked down for a very short period of time. And was this film that you did non-union or union?
Non-union.
Non-union. Okay. So you had a lot of free rein in that regard.
Yes. Yes. And we have a lot of benefits filming up there because you have really friendly police or businesses, people devoting their time and their locations, bars, city sidewalks.
Right.
Very friendly, very much lower budget than you can do in LA. And
awesome.
I liked it. It was fun. Turns out well.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's just really, really neat to hear. Because I think a lot of people have, now I've been in the industry, so I understand, but I think a lot of people have this misconception that, you know, you have to be in LA and it has to be a big budget union film in order to have any success or even completion. And that is absolutely, as you have just proven, not the case in all situations. So I think that's really inspiring and illuminating for people to hear and to understand that. I am curious, so you wrote both of these films?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm curious a little bit about, you know, what are some of the messages and themes that are really important to you in your art? And maybe you can talk a little bit about what has inspired you as well.
The first movie, the theme is, it turned out to be quite fortuitous because it was trying to eradicate the Chinese vampires that are taking over America. And then right after that, we had the COVID flu, whatever, come from China. So that was interesting how that worked out. And some of the people, the characters in the film that were against the vampires were a religious group that were just really pro-America, anti-China, and they were trying to get the vampires, whether they were white or Chinese, whatever, it didn't matter to them. They don't like the Mandarin speaking vampires. So that was fun. So that movie didn't have a lot of deep messages. It was a fun action comedy.
Mm-hmm.
The second movie was...
Well, I would actually say it did have some pretty deep, profound messages based on what you just told me. So
I realized.
And you know what's so interesting about that? I was just listening to a director talk about how, you know, a lot of the reason why in, you know, the past decade, we've seen such a rise in these, like, you know, vampire movies, zombie movies, and horror type genres is because they're trying to appeal to a global market. And you can't make things culturally specific and appeal to the global market. But I think it's also what has diminished some of the value of film, personally. That's my view, because part of why, you know, part of what I love so much about art is that I can travel all over the world via artistic mediums, you know, whether it be film or reading a book or television. I can go places and learn about people and cultures that I would never have the experience to otherwise. Even if I traveled, you know, I'd be traveling possibly as a tourist and not be privy to some of those unique cultural aspects that make it so fascinating. You know, I think that's what makes art so rich personally. I thought that was really fascinating. So to hear you talk about this, you kind of merge the two, which I think is brilliant, actually. You merge this notion of, you know, pro-America and, you know, what makes America America, and the battles and the forces in the world that we, you know, the foreshadowing that you had the, you know, the prescience to be able to write. But then you merge that with these, you know, kind of comedic, universal kind of themes. So.
Yeah, in the movie, they have a scene where the pastor is talking about how the Chinese are taking over our movie theaters, are taking our real estate, influencing our kids, and let's go get them. So that was fun. And I had their uniforms say America First Chinese Vampire Slayers.
I saw that, yeah.
I kind of toned it down a little bit. It would have been in the original script even more like a patriotic gear and stuff. Mm-hmm. We made it a little more neutral. Undertone,
right?
And, but anybody that sees it can see how that is similar to current events. Sure. And I agree with you for the lack of art in current big budget movies. And I always wanted to make something very unique, but also fun for the masses. So that's my passion, is making unique ideas and action films that are different, not just cookie cutter. So we can make money, but also have something different and interesting. Yeah.
Amazing. I love it. So can you talk a little bit about before we get on to the next film, talk a little bit about that distribution process and what was that like for you? And were there obstacles and challenges?
When we were finished or during editing, I started to do research on distribution. And there were lots of stories about people self-distributing, but I didn't want to do that. So I went forward trying to manifest a good distributor. And through the process of sending out, submitting, I saw a video on YouTube about a lady that, you know, we're mutual friends. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that an actor on our film was also friends with her, and he introduced us. So she became our distributor at the time. Awesome.
She's pretty awesome. Yeah.
We're really fortunate to have met her, and she's a blessing.
So. For sure. I concur. One of my dearest friends. Wow. So was that, was she the first distribution contact that you reached out to, or had you tried other paths prior?
We had interest from a couple others, but it was hard to know what's best. And I always trust connections more than any company I haven't dealt with before.
Yeah.
So if you get a recommendation from a friend or cast member, then you feel like that's more trustworthy.
I understand that. I definitely understand that. That resonates deeply for me. I know some people like to just go look, like, and, you know, do deep research and compare and contrast everything kind of generically. But I feel like when you have some sort of, I think it boils down to trust. You feel like you have some sort of a trust that's embedded. And, you know, that's really important when you're working on a project that's your baby, which clearly this was. Mm-hmm. So now let's talk about this project that you did in Montana. What were some of the themes behind that? And, the process of bringing that to fruition?
I started writing that 3-4 years ago when I was living in China and was really missing my hometown. And I also always loved Native American culture growing up there. Oh. So I just wrote a story about it and just an ode to my hometown and to Native Americans. And it was just, it's kind of a sad movie, but I think everyone will like it. And I'm looking forward to the first draft of the editing process so we can see it.
Awesome. I am as well. So I have two questions for you. What is it about Native American culture that draws you and appeals to you? And two, does that one have distribution yet, or are you still in that process?
Oh, that was just, you know, I have some friends growing up there, and I have toured through the reservations in Montana. So I always had a lot of respect for them and how they treat the land and everything. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll probably have our mutual friend working on the distribution for that. So
awesome.
Since it's awesome. More of an art house movie, it's probably going to festivals more so than an action film would be a worldwide distribution. So
right. Very cool. Okay. And yeah. And what is next for you?
So the first Chinese Speaking Vampires was kind of a prequel. And now we have the bigger budget Chinese Speaking Vampires, the Wrath of the Bat coming out. Hopefully this next year we'll start filming that. And that's larger budget and name actors and more action. So it should be an even better version of the prequel, like we like to call it. So that's what we're working on finding the financing for right now.
Okay, you're currently seeking financing for that. And can you tell us who the actors are involved?
I don't know. I'll have to ask Michelle if that's allowed.
All right.
I always liked the first Buffy the Vampire Slayer from the 90s.
Me too. I felt personally that was the role made for me. And even though I wasn't an actress at the time, they should have come and found me. I mean, the fact that they didn't, I don't know what's wrong with them. So, it's a little sore spot for me. But
an actress was Christy Swanson, and I was hoping to get in touch with her at some point about that role. And another actor in that movie was David Arquette. So we like both of those too.
Yeah.
And for the main bad guy's mistress, we were thinking like Tia Carrere. She's a good Asian actress. So
yeah, great.
What happens?
Awesome. All right. Well, hopefully that should be very, very exciting. Yeah. So that script is already, like, you've already written that whole... you've written the script and pitched it already. Have you pitched to them? Okay.
So we have the script and pitch deck and poster and website and everything ready. Mm-hmm. And going forward with national types of marketing to find more investment in the coming new year. So hopeful and praying and manifesting.
For sure.
It's a big ask, but before with a smaller ask, I can hopefully get God and the universe to help once again.
For sure. Yeah. And maybe somebody listening will be interested and spread the word, hopefully. So, yeah.
Yes.
Blessed. Absolutely. And so you've done three. So that's three films. Right?
I did a short film in China 4 years ago called Kung Pao Love. And it was a good learning experience. I would only recommend people do like one or two shorts and then work on features. I'd rather make a low budget feature than a big budget short.
Because
most people aren't interested in watching shorts. So.
Yeah, especially not today. I think there was a window of time where shorts were actually quite... at least much more than they are now popular. So, and there was a much bigger market for them, but that seems to have changed. So I am curious, you were talking about like the difference between, you know, like a more art house kind of distribution versus, you know, global box office type thing. What do you see as the future of the filmmaking medium in that regard? And how do you think that will change films?
I don't know. I think that people need to know going into making a feature that the only things that sell internationally are action and sometimes horror movies. Unless you have name actors, you can go with dramas. Mm-hmm. But fortunately, I learned that early on from Michelle. And fortunately, we only did the one drama. And now we can move forward sticking with concepts that will be sold internationally. And you can still make unique and fun movies mm-hmm. that are viable and sellable across the world. Mm-hmm. I think that it does help to have name actors, but just make your feature without the name actors first, and then if that goes well, keep pushing forward to make bigger and better movies in the future.
For sure. So how do you feel about the role of film? We touched on this a little bit, but I would love to hear more of your thoughts on it. The role of film in the culture.
I think that it was huge for me growing up mm-hmm. and in my 20s mm-hmm. to see motivational films that motivated me so much. I mean, I loved Dead Poets Society and Titanic and movies that really resonated with my heart to go chase my dreams and live for today. So
yeah.
I hope that we can continue to make movies that inspire people like that instead of just computer generated graphics, action films.
Yeah.
You know? So I hope that the medium can continue to inspire people to chase their dreams and be better or whatever. So that's my hope.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. So the role would be aspirational.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think there's been a huge trend, certainly in the last decade, but possibly past two decades, for the rise of the anti-hero. And I think that that's very destructive in the culture. You know, I would love to see a return of the hero. Yeah. I think it's fun. I think that it is aspirational. I think it's inspiring. And, you know, I think that people, we go see movies that are, because they're larger than life, and we want something to look up to. We want something to aspire to. We want something to give us hope that we can chase our dreams, you know? And I don't think the anti-hero serves that quite as well. So.
Good points. Yeah. And I hope to make better movies that inspire people. Like I was inspired to be an actor back 20 years ago here. So, yeah.
So you've worn lots of hats. You're actor, producer, writer. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about those different roles and, you know, the difference between them, what you like and don't like about each of them?
Yeah, for many years I was just doing acting, and then I got into learning how to script write. And then when you're doing your own feature, you naturally have to produce it. And I like the producer side of it, because you can be in charge of choosing the other cast and crew around you.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to be in charge creatively like that.
Yeah.
And writing is tough. Script writing has to be so perfected and tight to make it into a good movie. So that's been quite the learning process.
Uh-huh.
So I just love being a part of each project, and whether it's just as an actor or just the writer, that's all good. But I say my two favorite are producing and acting.
Yeah. Awesome. So with this Chinese movie, I would imagine you lived in China for decades, so you must have lots of friends and colleagues there.
Yeah.
Right? How did they receive the movie versus people here?
That's a good question. And the topic of the movie, the content is a little bit poo-pooed in China because they don't like zombie movies and vampire movies. I mean, the government doesn't like to accept those as much, vampire and zombie
movies. Interesting.
So that's, I knew that going in, and I knew that it's still, every other country besides China likes it, so I just made that gamble, and hopefully with a name talents, they'll be more accepting of it in China for the sequel. And but the majority of the audience there, they still like these type of films, just like we do here. They just they're blocked from their government from watching a lot of it.
How interesting. Do you know why?
They have weird things about, weird ideas about afterlife and death and everything. So anything dealing with that is kind of taboo.
Interesting.
And I hope that changes, but with their censorship, it's much worse than here. And you just have to deal with that. And at least I wasn't saying anything political or any gratuitous violence. So that helps it get into China easier.
Yeah. Interesting. So you really have to know your markets and, you know, when you're, and keep that in mind when you're writing and directing these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. So where are you currently?
I'm in Dallas, meeting with friends and possible investors, and then I'll go back to LA for a little while and then Montana for the holidays.
Awesome. So I'm curious that those are three very different states. Can you talk a little bit about the climate there, not the weather, but, you know, but yeah, just, and how have all of each, and has you noticed a difference in how people in each of the states respond to both the filmmaking process that you were involved in and the material itself?
I'm just a really big fan of Montana, and for five, you know, 6-7 months of the year, it's really beautiful there, and the rest of the time it's white and dreary. But the people are lovely, and they were just so excited when I was doing auditions for the Slant Streets back there a year ago, and they had even put it on the news that there's a audition for a feature. And at the same time, it was Yellowstone was being filmed a couple blocks away. So people on the streets would often ask if we're with Yellowstone. I said, no, we have quite a lot smaller budget than that. People up there are really great, conservative, patriotic Americans, and I love that. And Texas is the same way. I just never can get used to having no mountains around. You know, I take it for granted. In LA, Montana, I'm always around mountains and beautiful scenery.
Yeah.
Here it's just flat everywhere, and it doesn't feel like home, but the people are great here. Really nice people in Texas. There's just not that much entertainment industry in Dallas at all. So it's hard to stay here full time if I'm doing a movie project in LA. So.
Right. Sure. Sure. I'm curious about how the people in the different states, because I think that that's also something that even Americans are not always as aware of. You know, we are the United States, but we are 50 independent sovereign states that are united, right? So there's a big difference between the culture and the, you know, certainly, you know, the governments and the policies that are implemented in each of the states. And, but definitely there is a culture to each state. And I don't know that people, I don't know that everybody recognizes that. So I think it would be interesting to hear how, I think certain films would do better in certain states, right? Like they're, so I'm curious about how they perceive it.
And Michelle and I are talking about, oh, how do we film this in LA?
Mm-hmm.
Because things have changed just a lot, even in 2 years for their little requirements. And we're not about to make anybody have any medical requirements to be on our set.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't want to be forced to have those type of requirements. So if possible, or if we're able to go to a neighboring state, even Montana, would be awesome.
Yeah.
And we're thinking about that right now. And it is two different countries. It really is, between, say, California and Montana or Texas. And that's too bad. It is too bad. But like Michelle always says, she's been there her whole life in LA, and that's her industry, and all of her connections are there, so it's hard. For me, I'm very mobile, so I don't have anything tying me down. I'm moving all the time, but yeah, I would only be in the LA area just because of the industry at this point. I wouldn't want to or recommend anyone to live there for anything other than the industry at this point.
Unfortunately, it was really beautiful, really beautiful. I understand. I left there. I moved. So I do get it. But it sounds like Montana was, I think, another, misconception or something that impedes a lot of people from taking action in the industry is that they think they have to be in LA to have a successful product. And you're proving that that's not true. So were you really surprised to see that there was an infrastructure in Montana, that there was talent in Montana, and that they were receptive to filmmaking?
Yeah, it was about half and half talent and no talent, because I was very blessed to meet a director that lives in my hometown that spent most of his life in LA, that had moved up there, and he had done big features. So, and he took it on as like a passion project, which is very wonderful of him. And so we had some other people that had experience in the cast and crew, and then some very, very newcomer type people as well. So, but everyone was friendly and open and welcoming to our whole project. So I kind of recommend it. It's a good thing to have a mix of the LA professionals with the Montana locals. I don't know if I could do it completely with just the locals because of the lack of experience and talent.
Sure.
But locations and everything wise, it's a lot of fun.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So what would your advice to a new filmmaker, particularly in this current time, be?
Just take part in YouTube University, watch as much free content as you can, and then build a team of like-minded people, start making a short film with whatever equipment you have, and then get out and set about making a plan for a feature with your script and everything, and try to attract talent and money and everything to get it done. But you might go to LA for a while, but then take what you learn and go back to where you're from and make the movie there, you know?
Awesome. Awesome. One more question, then I'm going to leave you with closing remarks. In terms of, filming in Montana, would there, you had said like locations were very favorable and things were cheaper. Were there incentives? Did you find that it was very, incentivizing to film there versus elsewhere?
Yeah, they have tax incentives for bigger budget movies. Mm-hmm. So we were so under the radar that it didn't really matter.
Okay.
But for bigger budgets over $1 million, I think you will definitely find some tax advantages here. Yeah.
Great. Awesome. Well, this has been really awesome, really informative. Thank you so much. Tell us if you have any closing comments you want to leave people with. Pardon?
I'm so blessed to have met you. Praise God. And I'm so thankful for our project and for you and Michelle. And I hope that we'll see each other again.
Yeah, for sure.
You know.
Thank you. Tell everyone where they can find you. I'm going to post a little clip of the trailer for everyone.
Oh, yeah. It's Instagram, Chinese Speaking Vampires, website, Chinese Speaking Vampires, themovie.com. And that's about it. Facebook and all that is all the same. So check us out, become a subscriber, and we'll send you exclusive pictures and info about the process and pre-production of a Hollywood feature.
Awesome. Very cool. Thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thank you.